Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And we're here to talk about why you're communicating wrong and how to fix it.
Yeah, I love that. We carefully craft our headlines to make you at least give a little bit of a listen to the podcast, and that's kind of the most offensive way we could phrase that.
Yeah, just it was a way to say, well, what am I? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I guarantee you are. And this the idea for this podcast came out of some thoughts that we had about communication styles. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is your communication style, your preferences in communicating with your customers and with the people around you, your vendors, etc., and what their preferences might be and how to handle that.
So communication styles, like accents?
Yes, that's exactly it. No, more like, for example, I'll give you an example, and that really started me thinking about this, is we have a vendor that does things for Coldesi that really only likes to talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I am notorious for not wanting to talk on the phone. So what would happen was, for the first 2 years that we tried to do business together, we just didn't connect. We didn't hook up at all. And this is a valuable vendor for Coldesi, because he would call and I would respond with an email because I don't pick up the phone. And we lost business between each other because of that. What I found was, as a matter of fact, after one phone call that we actually did connect with, is I sent him an email, and I said, listen, I never answer my phone. If you would just, like, send me an email, that would be great. So I got an email later that day saying, hey, this is, I'm just going to use John. Mm-hmm. This is John. Can we talk on the phone today at 2:30? And that drove me nuts. Mm-hmm. So, and that was both my loss and his.
Yeah. So that's what happens in business, is you have a method that you prefer to communicate, whether that would be, some people love to text message. And if we talk about just interpersonal relationships, because that's really what it comes down to.
Right.
Interpersonally, you have a preference of how you like to communicate with other people. You might, as I mentioned, you might be into text messaging.
Right.
Other folks will say, I hate to text. Some folks really love to talk on the phone, and they can sit and talk on the phone for an hour. And others, it's very uncomfortable for them. Emailing, direct messaging through social media, writing letters, I suppose. There might still be a couple people.
I haven't gotten one, so I'd be open to that. I would be open to that.
But there's all these different methods that you prefer to communicate interpersonally for whatever it might be for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're the type of person that prefers to think something out, write it out, read it, and then send the communication through, which is why you may prefer text messaging or emails. And other folks stumble upon that. They find that to be work. They just want to let the thoughts flow easily, and that's why they like. They yeah. want to hear the inflection of voice that you gain from the verbal communication.
Or maybe they just don't see themselves as effective written communicators. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a little embarrassed by the fact that you cannot spell. Mm-hmm. Or your vocabulary isn't the best. And that kind of communication sometimes, that written communications, can intimidate people.
Absolutely. And there's emotional things that come along with it, too. You know, the warmth and the connection of meeting people in person or on the phone and hearing their voice. So there's all of these things that come into play. And what happens in business and in your personal life as well, but we're here to talk about it in business, is that if you try to force too much your communication style upon people who don't enjoy that or don't prefer that, then you will lose business to somebody who will accept their communication style.
That's absolutely right. So for just one quick example is, you know, we've got the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, 5,500 members, and a certain percentage of those really prefer, they're on Facebook anyway, they really genuinely prefer to get their information on Facebook. And they would rather chat with me on Facebook about an issue or a problem or, you know, a tech support question or things like that. They find it a burden to phone call or email, you know, or, for example, go to the support site and fill in a request, where just, you know, going to Facebook and chatting is easy for them and immediate.
Mm-hmm. And there's, we're in a day, we're in a day and age where we have this convenience of communication. Communication's never been more convenient,
right?
You know, ever throughout history. And we're spoiled a little bit by it, but if you're spoiling your customers a little bit by giving them excellent service and communication, then you will win customers because
right.
of that. People and like to be spoiled with communication.
And let's you know, kind of call it like it is. If you are on Facebook, do you keep in touch with many friends that are not on Facebook? You know, there are people that I, you know, haven't seen in years that I occasionally communicate in Facebook who I would never email, I would never write, and it's because the communication is simple and it's readily available.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what do we have to do then? You know, what do we do when you're a small business owner and you really prefer to have all your communications via email, and
right.
but you run into customers that would like to do something differently than that. But this is the way you run your business.
Right.
So how do you manage that without disrupting your own personal flow?
Yeah, I think, and you know, from my perspective, your personal flow is, good phrase, by the way.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a title of a self-help book.
Okay.
Personal flow.
I'm actually writing it.
Okay, right. That's good.
Yeah, I just started this moment.
I think, you know, me, I err on the side of the customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's important that you do as much as you can, as efficiently as you can as a small business owner. But also, to some extent, that really doesn't matter. Unless your business model is built around, like, let's say you have an online store. We're jumping around here a little bit on our
sure.
agenda. But let's say that you have a custom apparel shop online and you take orders online. And that's successful and working for you. So if someone wants to call and talk to you on the phone about an order, if your whole business is made up of online orders and you're geared towards that people just logging in and creating their own shirt and getting it printed and you ship it, then it may actually cost you money to do it the other way.
Exactly. And it can actually be to the detriment,
it's a big investment.
Yeah, it's a big investment of your time. If you're working 8 or 10 hour days, 30 minutes is a chunk of that time. And if you get 3 phone calls that are 30 minutes plus a piece, that can eat up that time. So I think that you have to choose when the time is right and wrong. But when we talk about most of our customers that are out there,
yeah.
you know, we're in the custom apparel business, so we're dealing a lot with folks who are making custom jobs across the board. So they're doing things for sports teams, they're doing
yep.
things for schools, they're
yep.
doing things for business owners, for you know, corporations, things like that. And having proper communication on the style and the color and the size and all these things is great. So we have to make sure that we do that efficiently. But also, you're also a salesperson.
Right.
You're a salesperson, and you're trying to sell to these customers. Which means that when you need to embrace what they want, you have to kind of, you know, you need to, you know, it's like, you know, like a dog, you know, you have to, you know, you feed them a treat, you know, come over here, let me pet you.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Hey, that might work too as a sales tactic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That is a sales tactic.
Not legal in Florida. So I don't want to make it sound like that is an excuse that, well, I only really want to do online sales, so I only have to take emails. So I don't have to talk to people on the phone and things like that, because you're right, Mark. You really do, you know, the vast majority of our customers do a local business.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we talk about in all of our podcasts is that personal connection and getting out and meeting your customers and your potential customers. And just like people are more likely to do business with somebody that they've met, they're more likely to do business with somebody that they talked on the phone to, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
versus just received an email. You know, and they're most more likely to do business with people that they got an email from that they never heard from. So it's kind of like the scale of interaction. And the more personal you can be, the more likely you are to earn repeat business in the vast majority of the cases. So if you're out there in the world and, you know, you're meeting people in person, that's great. If you don't like to meet people, if that is not your preferred style of communication, then we've already said that you've got to get over that if you want a local business to a certain extent. The same goes with phone calls. You just have to engineer your business to say, okay, I know that Mark Stevenson hates to talk on the phone. So if I want his business and I want to communicate with him properly, I'm either going to have to text message him or I'm going to have to send him an email. And you may keep a list like that, or you may go through those optional methods of contact. Just try to figure out ways to fit those into your style rather than ignore them.
Yeah, and what you'll notice, and you've noticed this before, and if you haven't made the connection yet, when you deal with a large business, they often will ask you what you prefer. So if you notice that, you will get those, you know, how would you prefer us to contact you? Phone, text, email. They ask this.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to take this lesson from people who have learned this before you, that businesses and have learned that when you ask a customer how they prefer to be communicated with, and then you follow along that trend, they like you better.
Yeah.
They want to do business
with
you.
That's just the way it works.
That's why when you go, you know, when you go to, you know, certain businesses and you have some of these standard forms, you see they ask you, you know, how do you want to communicate? Check, email, and you write it out. And then you're waiting to get an email from them. If you would have checked phone and put your phone number, you'd be waiting for the phone call.
Yeah.
So you should do that with your customers. But also we want to make sure that you stay within the facets and rules and efficiency of your business. So what does that mean? If you might have somebody who really loves to talk on the phone, right? That's their work. Or maybe in-person meetings. Yeah. Just come by my shop. Let's talk about it. Just come by. Yeah, just bring it by. You know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they like. They want to shake your hand and be your friend and see you in person. That's really what they like. And people will tell you what they like if you ask them, or you don't even have to necessarily ask them. Yeah. Just pay attention. They will tell you. And then, so, however, you might have some efficiency that you need within that. So, for example, they like to talk on the phone, and they want a quote for some T-shirts. They need 100 T-shirts and 100 caps. They want a quote. So, however, you know, especially if you've listened to this podcast, we've talked about, don't just tell somebody a number on the phone and hang up and assume that they understand.
Absolutely not.
Right? So, however, if that's what they prefer, how they prefer to communicate, then you need to explain to them your rules and methods and merge and meet. And if you explain to people why, they'll understand. So what I mean by that is you're on the phone, you say, okay, well, the 100 shirts, that's going to cost you this amount of money. And 100 hat caps, this is going to cost you this much.
Right.
The toll's going to be this. If you want me to deliver them by mail, it's going to be an extra $30 surcharge, whatever that this might be. What I need to do next, just to make sure that everything is perfectly clear, is I need to email you a quote.
Yeah.
And I want you to review that, and then I can call you back on the phone. Or if you'd like, you can respond to the email and say that you agree to the terms.
Right.
But either way, I can call you back in a couple hours. Is that fine by you? And this way, what you're doing is you're communicating to them, my style is writing things down and make it very, very clear and putting it in an email with a timestamp and everything. And your style is talking on the phone. So I'm going to talk to you, then I'm going to ask you, you know, as the compromise to go to my
absolutely.
Side, and then we'll come back and talk again.
And you may even do this, which I really like, because if you get somebody that likes to talk on the phone, then you can get them on the phone or send them the quote that they need, then get them on the phone and say, are you in front of your computer? I just sent you an email with the quote. I'd like to go over it with you to make sure that I was clear. Mm-hmm. And then just go through the quote while you have them online. Great. All that sounds good. Go ahead and just click the accept button or write accept in a reply and send it back to me and I can get started.
Yeah.
And that'll turn into a great closing tool too.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a thing that we will run into here. And you may run into it in your business as well. But people will say to Mark and I, we have to communicate everything to all of our customers.
Yes.
Why don't you just send an email to everybody?
And we do.
And I'm like, of course we're going to do that.
Yeah.
However, that's going to hit about 30 or 40% of the people.
If we're lucky.
You know, if we're lucky. Then we'll send a second email, and that will pick up another 5%. So I said, we can send the email 12 times, and we'll still have 15, 20, 30% of the people that won't get that communication. So sometimes we have to mail something. Sometimes we have to pick up the phone and call people.
We
got to do all of it.
Let me tell my story.
Okay, all right,
so
I'm ready.
So we, Coldesi, you know, we in Coleman Company, we go out of our way to provide all kinds of information to our customers, not just sell stuff. So, you know, we send people information about the podcast and everything like that, but twice a week we have free one-hour tech talks for our machine owners with our best technicians on software and hardware. That's twice a week. We send out emails to all of our owners suggesting that they sign up. We put all that stuff on the support site so they can see it. If they ever have a problem, they can sign up too. We also send out, you know, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and when we put up a new video about how to do something or about a new product or something like that, if you're subscribed, you get that. We also put Facebook ads and information out there with new resources and all of the free stuff that we do. So when one of our best customers, that's been a customer for about a decade, came in a few weeks ago, they have multiple machines. And, you know, we're talking about this communication thing, and I asked her, you know, I said, you know, let me ask your advice. We have these great resources for people, these tech talks, and we average about 15 people. Now, we sell probably 50 or 60 machines every month. And so that's about 1,000 people a year between Coleman and Company and the cutters and things like that. And we get about 15 people that come to the tech talks. And she says, well, first of all, I don't read your emails, which was like a dagger to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
and secondly, you know, they're during the day, so, you know, I tried to sign up for one, and then I couldn't make it. I had a customer come in, so I just didn't do it. But her suggestion was, you know, I call Coleman & Company for supplies all the time. If somebody could talk to me then I would learn a lot more stuff about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and this is a constant challenge in business because our supply calls can't be, you're calling Order Some Thread. Let me tell you about, these are the four webinars we've got going on.
Yeah,
these
right.
These are the four new products that we've got. Right. You know, we have to pick and choose what we can communicate on the phone. And we can't spend 10 minutes every phone call explaining everything that's going on. So we have to, spreading all of your communication becomes like this thin line and balancing of what to communicate on what days. We can pick up the phone. We have a new product that we have coming out on the website right now, and I gave one of the guys in there a list, and I said, call all of these people and email all of them to let them know we have this product and see if they want a sample of it.
Yeah.
We go through the whole list. We make contact with about 30% of the people.
Yeah.
And we've called and emailed them. And then in 30 days, we will talk to somebody inevitably that will say, I didn't even know that you had that.
Why don't you guys tell me about that?
Why didn't you tell me? So this is a challenge in business, and you're going to run into it too, where you're going to email a customer a follow-up or a quote, and they're going to say, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I didn't see that. I didn't notice it. Because people are terribly distracted and busy, just like you are.
Yeah, or you're going to leave them two messages about a deal and says, you know what, I saw that you called me, but I never listened to the voicemail.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't listen to voicemails. I really don't like them.
Right.
Because they're mainly like 3 minutes of rattling on about why I might need to call you back that doesn't actually even say what the reason is.
Yes, that's very true.
And then leave the phone number.
So what we're saying here is like, you know, you've heard some great examples just from me alone and not really wanting to talk on the phone. And I know a lot of people are going to be calling me after this podcast.
I'm going to call you.
I know you are.
You know, you don't even answer my phone calls.
No, I don't. I just want to make
dial your
clear.
Extension. Then I have to walk down here,
that's
and you're
right.
sitting there.
But if you texted me, you know, I mean, that's a couple of good examples of, you know, one customer just doesn't read emails. So what if that was one of your biggest customers, and you'd been sending, hey, I've got a great deal on this overstock shirt that I've got in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Or since you ordered these things, I'm going to give you this for free if you order a little bit more. You know, what if it's those promotions, because you're sending emails, that those your best customers never get?
Well, so I have then maybe a solution.
Okay.
Okay. So we've talked about in previous podcasts about using a CRM.
Okay.
Customer like relationship management software.
That's a good one. I don't know what the podcast number is, but you should definitely look for that.
Yeah. Yes. And so you can use a CRM. Basically what that is you can, if you haven't listened to that, you don't know what it is, it's the first time you're hearing about it. It's some software that you can get that allows you to build a database of your customers, and you can put in a whole bunch of notes and documents and all information just pertaining to this one customer, and then this way when you go to review that customer's information in the future, you've got everything in there.
So and it's really easy.
Yeah, really easy. Previous work history, just little notes, they really love this. They love they have the same favorite band as me. You know, right, you can put in whatever you want.
Hates to talk on the phone.
That's exactly it. So in your CRM, you can maybe put preferred communication style there. Yeah. And you can write in, phone and email, text only,
Twitter.
In person, Twitter, Facebook message.
Yeah.
And if you want to do this, it doesn't have to be terribly complicated. But what that means is whether it's yourself or salespeople you have in the future or with you now, if you've got all of this information, you start doing it now. In the future, in a year from now, when you want to, if you've listened to another podcast, you know that you should follow up with your old customers
by contacting them.
You can go through your CRM and you can pull all of your customers from, first quarter of 2016 and this first quarter of 2017, and you can pull all them up, and then you can go through and you can say, okay, I've got 40 people to call, or
email. And I've got 150 people to email and three guys to text.
Yeah, and you go through the list and you say, Joe likes an email. I'm going to shoot him a quick email. Hey, following up with you. Mary likes to get a phone call. Bob likes someone to visit his shop. I'm going to be in the area on Tuesday, so I'm going to make a note to go visit Bob.
Yeah.
And what you have basically, you've become like this chameleon of communication for your customers, and people are going to notice it, and you are going to make
more money. Going to make more money. That's real. We should go back and put this as one of the how to make more money next month.
Yeah.
Because you'll do it, because I guarantee that, because ColdEssy is limited in the ways that it communicates with its customers and potential customers, I guarantee that there's machines we're not selling.
Yeah.
There are people out there that, really only respond to text, and we don't do that.
Yeah.
We do everything else. But that's going to be the same for your business. You may even look through your database and identify a customer that you've done nothing but email. And you'll pick up the phone one day, and they'll answer, and you'll spend 20 minutes, and then they'll read every email that you ever send again, and they'll place a big order.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that actually happens when you vary your communication style, regardless of the way that you like to do it.
Yeah, and just make sure that within all of this, you follow whatever the basic tenets of your business are. So if you make sure that you email and people and sign off on quotes, if you take physical signatures on quotes to get jobs done, whatever it might be, you just make sure that you balance it all around the tenets of your business. But the bottom line in that is also make sure that it's not so inconvenient that nobody likes it but you.
Right.
Okay.
That's a
good point. Sometimes you can just change or adjust what you do. If you're getting feedback from your customers, how it was, I hated having to every time I go to order shirts from you, which is every 3 weeks, I have to print something out. I don't have a printer in my office. I have to sign it
and fax it back in.
And it's like, now I have to do this every 3 weeks. If you're hearing things like that, that's terribly inconvenient for a lot of people.
Yeah.
If it's one order a year, that's a different thing. But when it's consistent orders and consistent across the board, you should try to fix that. And that's not always easy to fix, but do it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe that's an office you stop by every 2 weeks to see if you have an order for me. Or, maybe you start to research investing in just a straight online ordering system.
Mm-hmm.
So they never have to do that.
Yeah. Exactly. So...
It was a good short one. You've got it. First of all, you have to admit you have a problem.
Yeah, sure.
I guarantee you're communicating wrong in some way. You're not excited about getting a phone call from a customer. You're not responding to emails quickly or emailing very well. You're not emailing to your customers any promotions or sales informations. You're not stopping by. You're not texting. You're not on Facebook, you know, accepting chats. You're not on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, you've really got to embrace all of it and find ways to maybe transition those other communication styles into something that's actually going to work for you.
Yes, and if there is something that you really don't like doing, then find a way to improve that.
Yeah.
You can. So if you really don't like email because you have Outlook on your computer and it's really cumbersome to you and confusing and you don't like it, there are other email clients you can use besides Outlook.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just do all your emails from your mobile device. Or
yep,
a tablet.
That happens.
You know, so all that's fine. Adapt and change. If you really don't like taking phone calls, listen, I'm busy during the day. I have machines running. I can't hear it. You know, I don't want to leave my embroidery shop, but I've got four heads going, and it's yep. too loud in there to talk on the phone. Well, then maybe you just take a certain time of the day that you do phone calls.
Yeah.
And you even include that in your voicemail.
I'm on the shop floor until 4 p.m. every day. I'm happy to return your call then.
Yes, if you want to communicate faster, you can email me where I can easily communicate via email even with all the loud machines
right.
running.
Or text,
yeah.
or hit
yeah,
me
or
up on Twitter.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is.
And you'll find that when you communicate honestly like that, you're going to have people that even though they wanted to talk, they were perfectly fine with sending you that email and then maybe in the end saying, hey, can you call me after 4?
Yeah.
Or you'll find people will just straight up adapt. They'll just start texting you and you like texting and then they'll just stick with it
yeah.
and they'll be happy and they'll give you their money and be happy to go with
God,
it.
God, I love that.
So, and the same thing, if you hate emails, period, then, in your email, when you're checking your emails, check them during one time of the day.
Yeah.
Check them in the morning at 9 a.m. and then check them in the evening at 4 p.m. And that's when you respond to emails. And then you can even put a little footer, you know, in your email if you want. You know, a little, just don't make footers huge. I mentioned
yeah,
that
yeah.
in every podcast probably. You can have a little one that says, I respond to emails at 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. every day. You know, and you
yeah.
can just put that in your footer and people will see it. And then they'll realize if they email you at noon, they should not expect a response until 5 o'clock, and if they need an answer from you now, they know to call you.
Or its fastest service can be found on Twitter at hashtag
yeah, exactly.
buyanothershirt.com.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, whatever it is. All right, I think that is great. I think you guys have all learned all the wrong things that you're doing and how to fix them, and I think that you'll have a better business if you, along with me, because I am going to try to get better at talking on the phone, along with me, that you'll make more money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You will win more customers. You'll have happier customers. We have a podcast on customer experience.
Yeah.
You'll give them better experience.
Yeah.
And you will have a more successful business than the man or the woman a few shops down from you who doesn't use that damn internet. Yeah, I don't use email. You know, and you will earn more business than that person. And the thing is what I would have to say is everything that we talk about in all of these podcasts, I don't know if there's one thing that is magical that will make you 10 times more money this
right.
year. They're all, it's in business and in sales, it's all about how can I get one or two more?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do this, you will get a few more.
Yep.
And if you do the how to make more money next month stuff, each of those things will get you a few more.
Yeah.
And everything that we do, the customer experience, will get you a few more. You will slowly start winning, and sometimes quickly. I mean, you'll
yeah.
have surges sometimes.
Yeah.
You could start doing this and all of a sudden get 10 more customers than or 10% more customers than you got last month.
Yeah.
You might get 1% more. But over time, all of these little things
add up to a lot.
So start practicing some of these things, and you'll notice a difference next month.
Yeah, I like that. All right, guys, this has been episode 46 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
Have a good business.